This is going to be Jonah chapter 2, and we're going to look at how to get back on track with God. As you know, in the book of Jonah, Jonah is tossed into the sea and swallowed up by a great fish, a whale to be exact, according to Jesus Christ in Matthew 12:40. And he had been running from God, but when trouble came, he cries out to God. And let's look at this chapter and see some ways how we can get back on track with God. So Jonah 2, 1 and 2 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." So number one, if you want to get back on track with God, then fall on your knees in prayer. There was a wicked king by the name of Manasseh in the Bible, and he did much wickedness in the sight of the Lord. And look what happens when he cries out to God in a time of trouble in 2 Chronicles 33:12-13. It says, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." So Manasseh cries out to God and humbles himself, and God helps him. If you are out of the will of God and you're not living right, what you need to do is fall on your knees in prayer and come to God and tell him that you want to get back with him. You're already saved, but you're completely out of fellowship. You can be saved and out of fellowship. You're still going to heaven, but you're not talking to Jesus Christ. You're not walking with Jesus Christ. You're not doing what he wants you to do, and you need to get back on track with God. And the preacher Jonah, in the chapter that we're in chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." So Jonah cries out to God in the belly of the whale, and it says, "And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." So Jonah's soul went all the way down to hell in the heart of the earth. As the verse says, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." And his body was in the well, but his soul was in paradise in the heart of the earth. God heard his voice. If God will listen to Jonah in the heart of the earth, then God will listen to a born-again believer in the body of Christ. If you've been saved, you're a born-again believer in the body of Christ, and the Lord wants fellowship with you. One of the devil's biggest tricks is to get a backslid Christian to think that God doesn't love him anymore, or that God doesn't want to talk to him anymore. Maybe you've done some sin and you keep committing the same sin over and over again, and you think God probably doesn't even want to talk to me, but that's not true. If you're saved, your relationship never changes. God always wants to talk to his son, and you'll always be a son of God, even if your fellowship has been broken from sin. God is more long-suffering than any father or mother in this earth. And there are mothers and grandmothers who will let their kid take everything they have, and they still love their kid and desire to be around them and talk to them. How much more does God love his kid and want to be around them and talk to them? If you have gotten out of the will of God, then fall on your knees in prayer. And while you do this, forsake your sin and confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And there are those who break the command of rightly dividing the scriptures by overly dividing the scriptures. They will only take Romans through Philemon as doctrine for the church. And for this reason, they don't consider 1 John 1:9 to be doctrine for us today. But we can find practical application in other books of the Bible outside of the Pauline epistles, and even find doctrine outside of the Pauline epistles. The rule is, if it is contrary to what Paul says, then you know it's doctrinally for someone else in another dispensation, and not a contradiction. But since they don't believe 1 John would be for the church age, they don't believe we should confess our sins. It is true we are saved by grace through faith, with our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. And when we confess our sins, it isn't to get sins forgiven, because they're already forgiven. It's to stay in fellowship with the Father. When I sin, I want to come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I want to do better. Please give me victory over these sins. It has absolutely nothing to do with getting saved or staying saved or getting your sins washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins away the moment you got saved. But you confess your sins to stay in fellowship. And you weren't saved by confessing your sins when you did get saved. There's some people that think, well, I'm saved by confessing all my sins. No, that's not what saved you. What saved you was believing in the gospel. So saying that 1 John 1:9 can't apply to us is crazy. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Confessing sin doesn't save. Believing the gospel saves. And that verse in 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It will be hard to judge yourself if you don't confess your sins. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if you want to get back on track with God, fall on your knees in prayer and forsake your sins and confess them. But also, you need to force yourself to read the Bible. Fall on your knees in prayer, forsake your sin and confess it, and force yourself to read the Bible. In Jonah 2:3-4, it says, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. So Jonah says he's going to look towards the holy temple. Obviously not the earthly temple, but the heavenly temple up there where the Lord is. And if we are going to get back on track, then we need to set our affection on things above as well, as the Bible says. And the only way to do this is to force yourself to read the Bible. Jonah was going to have to force himself to do what God said. The Bible says in 1 John 1:6-1:7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You walk in the light by jumping in his word. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there are people who go so far out in the world that reading their Bible for them would be the most boring thing in the world. And when you get that far out, it won't be that easy to just pick up your Bible and read it. You'll have to force yourself to read the Bible. But once you start reading it, you can't get enough of it. Sometimes I get discouraged because I can't get enough of it. It's like I just can't get satisfied. You just want to keep reading and reading and reading. And if you don't set out, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, an hour here, 15 minutes there, then you're going to feel, you're going to get hungry for it. If you start reading a lot, you're going to get hungry for the Word of God, get more of an appetite. But once you start reading it every day and keep adding more and more chapters, you'll get to a point where 20 chapters don't satisfy, 30 chapters doesn't satisfy. You'll feel like you have to keep cramming your head with more and more study sessions. It's like when someone just keeps eating cakes and Little Debbie's and pizza. Their belly gets bigger and bigger, and it takes more and more to satisfy their hunger. Our appetite for the words of God should be this way. But you won't feel guilty for it, and you won't have to have a gastric bypass on your Bible appetite. You'll be glad you're getting fed and fat off the Word of God. Psalms 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's how you cleanse and yourself and get your Christian walk straight, is by reading the Bible. Psalms 1:1-1:6 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But that verse said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you're going to forsake your sin, you're going to need to delight yourself in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. You're going to have to force yourself to read the Bible, and it will get easier and easier. Your sinful habits can be replaced with reading the Bible. So forsake your sin, fall on your knees in prayer, force yourself to read the Bible, and focus on the Father, and you'll find freedom from corruption. Jonah 2:5 through 7 says, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Notice the word corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah died in the belly of the whale, and you can't deny it. Look at verse 5. It says, the waters compasses him about, even to the soul. Sure, it was sure for him to survive in the whale. God could have kept him alive in the whale. We're not denying that he couldn't have stayed alive. It's just the verses seem to point that he did die. He went down there into the heart of the earth where there was bars. And the Bible reveals to us that hell has gates. Notice God brought Jonah's life up from corruption. Jonah was dead, and God brought him back. His soul fainted within him. He remembered the Lord, but he waited till trouble came before he remembered him. So if you focus on the Father now, remember him now, so that when trouble comes, you'll already be in close fellowship. And if you focus on the Father and the things of God, then you won't see your life crumble, and you'll walk as a Christian should walk, and your Christian walk isn't going to be corrupted. Jonah was seeing corruption, but God brought him up from corruption. The devil got a hold of Eve, and then Eve got a hold of Adam. The devil gets a hold of somebody so that he can get a hold of you. The devil will influence and get a hold of parents so that he can get to their kids, and then their kids go to school and get a hold of your kids. Quit hanging out with wicked people, because they will corrupt you. Your Christian walk will see corruption. Your Christian walk will get worse and worse. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, not to fellowship with devils. Are you a Christian hanging out with the devils? Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Don't let your Christian walk see corruption. 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's a hard verse to follow. Sometimes our greatest Christian friends and family members get off into sins like fornication. You're not supposed to hang around people like that. And it isn't just a lost person that can derail a Christian. It's also worldly Christians that can get a Christian's walk off and cause their Christian walk to see corruption. They can influence you with their sinful habits. Maybe they drink. Maybe they party. Maybe they play bad video games and listen to wicked music. It might even affect you more, because the devil will say, well, hey, they're a Christian and they do it, so it can't be too bad, so you can do it. Exodus 33:2 says, follow not a multitude to do evil. It's never okay to do bad just because somebody else is doing it. Proverbs 1:10-16 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Sometimes even older Christians will derail a younger Christian. In 1 Kings 13, a young prophet was told by God himself not to eat bread or drink water. And then an older prophet lies to the young prophet and deceives him into coming back to his house to eat with him. It ends with the young prophet getting tore up by a lion because he didn't do what God said. So you have to go by the book. If a person or person tells you otherwise, then you choose the book over that person, regardless of how many years older they are than you, however long they've been in the ministry. If they go against the Bible, then they're wrong. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Other people can make your Christian walk see corruption. And if you want to get back on track with God, focus on the Father, forsake worldly habits, run from people who are hindering you from God working in your life, and because all these things will corrupt you. And next, if you want to get back on track with God, face God's will for your life. Jonah 2:8 through 10 says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God wanted Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to because he wanted them to die. And at the end of the book of Jonah, he was mad because God wasn't going to bring the judgment of God on them. And maybe God isn't calling you to do something big, but every Christian's job is to give out the gospel and the words of God. That's God's will for you, no matter who you are. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to give out the gospel, and you're supposed to put out the words of God. Spread the word of God. Psalms 126:6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jonah was ready to go preach the word that God gave to him. That's all God wanted him to do, was go preach to Nineveh, that they would be overthrown if they didn't get right. And Jonah finally got right in the belly of the whale, and the whale vomited him out on dry land. And if you get right, then your friends aren't going to want anything to do with you anymore, and the world will vomit you out. Just like lukewarm Christians make God sick, Christians on fire for God make the world sick. John 15:18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world will vomit you out because it will hate you sticking up for Jesus Christ, but the whale vomited him out on the dry land, and God will put your feet on dry land and you'll be safe. He brought Israel through on dry land. And Genesis 1:9, God is the one who caused the dry land to appear. The devil tries to flood Israel in Revelation 12, but God causes the earth to open its mouth and swallow the water. Noah went through the flood, but then the face of the ground was dry, and he was able to get out of the ark. God will give you water when you need it, but when you get in over your head, he picks you up. Peter was sinking. He said, Lord, save me. So he saved him. So all you have to do to get back on track with God is just come to God and say, Lord, help me, and then let him do it.